This is Mythical.
We're so excited to introduce you to Great Jones. Great Jones makes high-quality, thoughtfully designed cookware that's so stunning you won't want to put it away. From Dutch ovens to ceramic dishes to non-stick sheet pans, they've got you covered.
Heck yeah, they do. Their products come in a variety of amazing colors, from classic black and white to pinks, greens, yellows, and blues. And the best part, Nicole, everything's non-toxic.
Josh, I've been in the market for a kettle for months.
Yeah, I've heard you talk about it a weird amount.
Yeah, I've bought like a bunch, returned a bunch, but I just got my hands on the Great Jones Fellow Kettle collab, and I got it in the color broccoli, and I'm so excited to make artisanal teas and coffees. I'm trying to get on my coffee game right now, and I'm so excited to use a gooseneck kettle. We have no idea.
I'm excited to use their yellow hot dish, aka casserole dish. Shout out to Minnesota and Fargo, North Dakota. I'm at that point in my life where I'm like, I'm an adult, I should have nice vessels to serve food out of.
Sure, fair.
Instead of just serving it on like stainless steel restaurant style things. And I like it. It's cute. It's got a good design. Bakes really well. Holds heat. I'm in, baby. And once you try Great Jones, you'll want to share it with friends. They make stunning gifts that are actually useful. Weddings, housewarming parties, birthdays, it's the perfect gift for the foodie in your life.
So upgrade your kitchen and replace those old, rusted hand-me-downs with bold, beautiful, long-lasting pieces from Great Jones. Get started today at greatjones.com and get an extra 15% off your first order with promo code SANDWICH. That's greatjones.com, promo code SANDWICH.
I scream, you scream, we all should probably use our inside voices or else the podcast levels will start peaking. This is A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Ketchup is a smoothie.
Yeah, I put ice in my cereal, so what?
That makes no sense.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
What? Welcome to our podcast, A Hot Dog is a Sandwich, the show where we break down the world's biggest food debates. I'm your host, Josh Scherer.
And I'm your host, Nicole Anaiti.
And Nicole, I never want to talk about hot dogs ever again.
Yeah, never again. It would be really nice if we just completely disregard hot dogs for like at least 6 months.
Yeah, yeah. And I respect the fact that you've put up real boundaries because a lot of people in the office, you know, they'll come around and be like, so is a hot dog a sandwich? Which God bless them. They're trying to make conversation. I watch you stare a coworker in the face who we all love and say, excuse, do you not remember this?
No, who'd I do this to? You can say their name.
I think it was Matthew Dwyer. And you were like, with all due respect, I've put a lot of emotional energy into this and a lot of time at work. And I'd like to not have this discussion right now. And I was like, good for you, Nicole.
Wow.
Set your boundaries, girl.
Look at me. I'm telling you, therapy works.
Therapy works. All right. Today, we're talking about the best ice cream flavor. I feel like we're both going to have the same answer because it's the correct answer.
Really?
Well, you go first.
Okay. Well, I'm going to get a lot of flack for this and I already know it. But the best ice cream flavor, it's vanilla.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. It is the most.
You feel the same way.
It is the underdog. It is disrespected. It is synonymously used with boring missionary sex, which is very strange. And I credit 50 Shades of Grey for doing that. But it is utterly. Vanilla is incredible.
Vanilla is fine. More people should be okay with vanilla.
And it's the best way to. Because that way it doesn't. So you have the highest chance. You have the highest chance of also, which is the, you know, the reason for it.
Really? I didn't know that. I had no idea.
It's, yeah, and if you drink a Mountain Dew afterwards, we probably shouldn't be giving reproductive advice on the podcast. But speaking of vanilla.
If your reproductive advice includes Mountain Dew, you need to go back a few lessons.
Was that not a rumor that you heard in like high school?
No.
No, nobody knows this. This is only me, that you can't get preggers if you drink a Mountain Dew afterwards. It's like the worst. It's like the worst of the rumors, and it's certainly not true.
So
okay, vanilla ice cream. Vanilla is again. Mm-hmm. People have considered it synonymous with boring, which I get why, because a lot of people think vanilla ice cream is just like the plain white ice cream without a flavor, and we have diluted the quality of vanilla over the course of like centuries by using artificial extracts, vanillin, which is literally just they recreate. The aldehyde or something that is, they all have names like tetradeoxylmethylene 4. They're the actual chemical components. Thank you. But actual vanilla bean ice cream, vanilla is an orchid that only has like a 24-hour blooming period if it's not pollinated and then it wilts and dies. Mm-hmm. The fact that vanilla exists evolutionarily is almost a conundrum, if not a miracle. And we have harvested it. It goes back to the Totonac Empire, who the Aztecs conquered in the 15th century. And then European colonizers got there and started planting it wherever they could figure out how to get it to flower. And then it was just like, it's still the second most expensive spice, only to saffron, in the world. And it's mm-hmm. unreal that we get to consume this miracle plant every day in the form of briars, and people disrespect it.
It really is so special. And I believe one time, Josh, you've said that salt is the flavor
Salt is the baseline from which all flavor harmonies are written. It's a bastardized quote that I read in a Jeffrey Steingarten book.
Yeah, and I feel that way about vanilla and ice cream. You can't have any base. You can't have any ice cream without the procreator, I believe I'm using that term correctly, which is vanilla.
We gotta stop talking about procreation.
But it makes sense. I mean, there is no ice cream without vanilla. And if there is, it's called sweet cream and it's from Cold Stone, which is delicious in its own right. But vanilla ice cream is the base of all delicious flavors. You can't have mint chip ice cream without a little bit of vanilla. You can't have chocolate ice cream without a little bit of vanilla. Chocolate chip cookie dough, if there's no vanilla, what's the point?
Okay, wait, I have two things. One,
what's up?
Cold Stone, that is one of the biggest cultural coups, if not scams, that because one, I,
really?
I love Cold Stone, like, not to brag, my high school girlfriend worked at Cold Stone. I used to bring her weird stuff and she'd like mix it in for me. Like, there was a Greek cafe across the street and she mixed baklava into their sweet cream base.
Oh, that's badass.
And that's like badass. That might be my answer for the actual best ice cream flavor, if not vanilla.
Yeah.
But Cold Stone, when it opened up in my hometown, it was like the new cool, and I thought of it as a fancy thing. And so when I saw mm-hmm. they had sweet cream as their base instead of vanilla, I was like, oh, vanilla is lame and dumb and low rent because they got it at the 99-cent store. And
really?
Sweet cream, that's fancy. But now I know it's literally vanilla ice cream without the vanilla, you know? And
yeah.
so that was a big coup. But number two, you're talking about vanilla being used as a flavor base for everything. That's actually rooted in history. So the initial use of vanilla was in the Aztec Empire, I believe, at least according to my research, was used to flavor like xocolatl, like the OG chocolate drink that the Aztecs would
drink,
right?
Yes. Yeah.
The one that's like, it was flavored with agua de miel and then made into a kind of like bittersweet, frothy, hot, caffeinated drink. And vanilla was used to flavor that.
You would use
that.
A Molo Nino. You'd use a Molo Nino and go like this.
There was a spot that was serving like the OG Aztec chocolate drink in Boyle Heights, and then they shut down, which I'm bummed about because I really want to try it. That'd be a fun thing to make. We should make that on the show. Nicole, we have the capability to do that.
Sure.
We run a damn
cooking
show.
I've made it before. I've made it before many times. I used to work at a chocolate store that used to appropriate all kinds of chocolates from all kinds of places.
Yeah, that makes sense. Chocolate and vanilla, two most common ice cream flavors, right? Like, those are both the OG stories of like colonization and appropriation throughout history because like that was taken from colonizers and spread and planted literally everywhere. And so now you get, you know, arguments between Italians, Dutch, Belgians, and French on who makes the best chocolate confections. And it's like that stuff's all OG Mesoamerican. But then now a lot of it's grown in Africa as well. Really fascinating story. And chocolate and vanilla both, I mean, drove world economies into globalization. Really incredible stuff. And the fact that we get to eat that every day in ice cream, it's pretty gnarly. The fact okay, go ahead.
Eating ice cream every day?
Dude, I had a period working at this office because we had so much ice cream here that I, every single day for like 3 months, I ate a burrito for lunch and then chased it with ice cream. And that was the happiest time of my life. I will eat like a bite of ice cream every day because I'm a huge ice cream fan. I stock at least 6-7 flavors in my own freezer at all times.
No way. You have room for that? I wish
pints,
I had
only pints,
that.
No quarts, only pints. And I will, I drop cash, Nicole. Like I'm wearing dirty 3-year-old Vans right now and a t-shirt from Target. I drive a used Nissan because I spend all my money on $9 pints of ice cream.
Wow. That's
and I love
hilarious.
It. What are your top, give me your, okay, so vanilla, obviously like, unreal miracle plant. And if you have a really good vanilla, it's transcendent. What's the best vanilla ice cream you've ever had?
Oh, I just love Tillamook.
Really?
I just love, Tillamook vanilla is just perfect. There's nothing to add. There's nothing to subtract. It's just delicious. I feel like I'm getting real vanilla without being punched in the face with artificial vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
I think it just tastes delicious. And it's fresh and creamy and beautiful. and just the perfect amount of fat to like sugar ratio, in my opinion. I love Tillamook vanilla ice cream.
Tillamook is one of those brands. It's like Kettle Chips, Tillamook, and like Health Aid Kombucha, where it's one of those brands that I'm just like, I like you better than other brands, and I'm going to support that.
That's funny.
Like those kind of trusted brands for me. That said, like Tillamook farm style shreds cheese. Game changer.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
If y'all don't know about Tillamook farm style shreds, they take the convenience of shredded cheese, but it's a lot bigger and it doesn't have the anti-caking agent on it, so it melts really well. Tillamook cheese, really fantastic. I visited the factory. I had the best milkshake of my life there. It was like a salted malted butterscotch milkshake.
Went there?
Dude, yeah, it's like in between. I was at a wedding, Kevin Riggs' wedding. Shout out Kevin.
Oh, sweet.
At his wedding in the Oregon coast, and we drove back to Portland, I believe, to take a flight. And the Tillamook factory is there. And it is like Disney World for dairy. It's incredible. They had like cheeses they were experimenting on. They had like a 10-year cheddar and stuff like that.
Rad.
That said, their ice cream is the only product that I don't like.
I also like Haagen-Dazs, side note. I really do like Haagen-Dazs.
Yeah.
Ben and Jerry's, not really.
Tillamook to me is too creamy because I prefer a slightly icier, colder ice cream because you get, and I believe Tillamook has a fair amount of, I could be wrong here. If Maggie wants to look at the ingredients on Tillamook ice cream real quick, I feel like they have a fair amount of like guar gum, carrageenan, what's the
other? Hell yeah.
What's it? Which to me, they use that instead of, say, a custard base to make a really thick, rich, creamy ice cream that doesn't melt. Yeah, it has tarragum, guar gum, and like that literally comes before
vanilla
bean.
Yeah, but those are good.
It's not like a moralistic thing of like, I don't like these artificial ingredients. To me, it just doesn't make as good of a product. And also, it allows more air to be whipped in. So you get a creamier product, you get a fluffier, lighter product, but that's not what I want with ice cream. I want like dense flavor and I want cold. If there's a little bit of ice crystals in there, that's totally fine because that's what I want. So Haagen-Dazs to me, Haagen-Dazs has a weirdly simple ingredients list for how big of a company they are. Also owned by Jews. Brooklyn Jews, baby. Shout out. The Brooklyn Jews are the minor league baseball team of Brooklyn.
You're so funny.
They have a very offensive Chanukiah mascot.
Wait.
I'm kidding. It was a joke. It was a weird, distasteful joke. But Haagen-Dazs to me is the best mass market vanilla ice cream out there. If I'm not at a specialty food store where I get all my fancy boy pints of ice cream, Haagen-Dazs is the one that I go to, and their vanilla is absolutely perfect. But there's
what else is really good?
Huh?
Bluebell.
I don't know if I've had their vanilla. Their banana pudding ice cream now. Hey there.
Yeah.
That's fun.
That's good. Smooth banana goodness.
Because Bluebell's a Texas-based company, and I know it's like has a huge regional following in Texas. And I remember going to Austin in college, and everyone's like, "You got to get the Bluebell ice cream," and we would, and it was great. Can you get it in California now? Has it made its way out to our stores?
I think I've seen it in a few Walmarts, and then I believe it might have been pulled, but I'm not 100% sure. I remember seeing it. I remember maybe we just had it shipped to us because we're fancy and mythical.
We definitely did.
But I do remember having it shipped over to us.
I think we straight up emailed Bluebell Corporate to get it. But there's another regional ice cream company that I just in the last couple of years have seen pop up in California. Yeah, it looks like Bluebell ain't in California yet. It's called Graters, G-R-A-E-T-E-R-S. It's from Cincinnati, and their signature is like a black raspberry chocolate chip ice cream, which isn't my go-to, but it's very fun, and Graters makes a really high-quality chocolate ice cream as well, and they manufacture their own chocolate,
too. Did Lily teach you about that?
No, why? Does Lily have a connection to Graters?
Yeah, I believe she said her favorite ice cream is Grater's Raspberry Chocolate Chip.
She did.
She wanted that for her birthday.
Oh, that's right. And we failed to get it for her.
Yeah. I'm like, hey, what's your favorite ice cream flavor? She's like, Grater's Raspberry with Chocolate Chip.
It has a huge cult following.
Like, can you be a little bit more like, I don't know, like simpler?
Okay, wait, hold up though. I got to talk about, and you've heard me talk about this because it's annoying, but I was recently looking it up. The best vanilla ice cream I have ever had, which it might be the best ice cream I've ever had, was this company that I've talked about before. They did single origin vanilla, single origin chocolate ice creams, and they had an Indonesian vanilla ice cream that literally, it almost tasted like cherry blossom, and it was like fruity, packed with vanilla. It was like $13 a pint, which probably explains why I believe the company's out of business now. because I could like never really find them. I found them in like one random Whole Foods that I stopped in because I had to pee, you know what I mean? And then found them. Yeah. They're called Choctal, Choctal. And their ice cream was just fantastic. You could taste the difference in vanilla beans, and not even in like a hipster foodie annoying way of like, this wine tastes like vegetable ash and this wine tastes of green onion and silt. Like this was, you tasted the ice cream, you're like, holy smokes, that is an entirely different flavor that I've ever had before. And that showed just like the power of how awesome vanilla is. But aside from vanilla, absolutely. Nicole, if you're buying like right now, you need to stock 5 pints of ice cream in your freezer. What are you going with?
I don't think the average person stocks 5 pints of ice cream in their freezer.
Did people not have 5 pints of ice cream?
That's crazy to me. Like, I don't think
anybody.
Dude,
live a little. I have like 9 hot sauces, 5 ice creams, and like that's how I stock my fridge.
Okay, let me think. Definitely a nice Tillamook vanilla, or maybe Breyers, depending on where I'm at.
Breyers is a good brand.
Vanilla, no, I just said that's stupid. Mint chocolate chip for sure. Has to be green.
Has to
I
be
don't
green.
Like white. People are like, oh, white mint tastes so much better. Liars. No, it doesn't.
No, it has
I need
to be
to
green.
Taste the green. I need to see the green.
The green
yeah.
is the color of mint, but also no real mint should be in there because real mint ice cream, I do
yeah,
not like.
Obviously. Yeah, yeah. I need that fake stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Chocolate chip cookie dough.
Yes.
Love that. Uh-huh. Something with a caramel ribbon going through it. Maybe a
Jenny's
a
salted caramel
with a little bit. Sure.
Not Jenny's. I mean, no. Salt and straw.
Salt and straw is too dense for me. So I guess something from McConnell's.
McConnell's
that has a caramel swirl in there with a little bit of salt would be nice. And then maybe a nice black cherry from Thrifty's.
Thrifty. Okay, let's talk about Thrifty.
I love black cherry. Black cherry ice cream is an underdog. It's like rum raisin or like butter pecan. It's like, oh, that's an old lady ice cream. So what? Old ladies have their stuff together. I love that kind of old, like, I'm tasting the same ice cream as a person in like the 40s.
Dude,
and that's rad. You know what
now,
I mean?
If you're going cherry, you're tasting the same ice cream as like a Persian dude in like the 1300s. Because let's talk about history of ice cream, because I want to do this because it's hilarious.
I was talking about American ice creams, but no, if you want me to talk about Persian ice creams, that's another scenario completely.
Well, so Persian ice cream is, I mean, it's my go-to when I go out for ice cream. I go to Saffron and Rose. There's a war in LA.
Sure.
It's Molly Malone's.
Mashty Malone's.
And Saffron and Rose. I've always been team Saffron and Rose. I think they use less food dye in their things, which for some reason I prefer that. But you go there and they have, I mean, flavors like saffron, pistachio, lavender, which is always my favorite, orange blossom, mm-hmm. cucumber ice cream, not sorbet, talking heavy cream ice cream, baby. And it's got salep mixed in it, ground orchid root powder that makes it like extra stretchy and chewy. And I love Persian ice cream. But like the most interesting thing to me about ice cream, I have to do this, Nicole. I'm sorry. So ice cream was invented originally using buffalo milk in the Chinese. I believe it was the Tang Dynasty. And it was made with a chemical called saltpeter. That's the thing that changed the game, right? Nicole, you ever make rock salt ice cream?
I was going to say, isn't saltpeter used a lot in like corned beef production?
I don't think so. I think it's a different thing. Saltpeter, I believe, is used in gunpowder manufacturing.
Oh, that's it. I always mix up corned beef and gunpowder.
But they basically found a chemical that reduces the freezing temperature of ice. So it drops it even lower. Mm-hmm. So you can like add saltpeter to literal water. Or no, sorry, it doesn't reduce the freezing temperature. Saltpeter literally cools down water. And so they found out they could use that to cool down cream and make it frosty on demand, which is pretty incredible. But then we found out that you can also just use NaCl, classic table salt, to, you know, make the temperature of ice drop and make that. But anyways, the term sherbet comes from sharbat, which I believe is a Persian word, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like one of the OG flavors was sour cherry. And so I love being able to go to like you go to Persian ice creameries and you get like faludeh.
Yep.
Which is like the ice with the noodles mixed in it.
That's right.
That's cool as hell. It's a piece of history. Food history's fun, folks. The man
screams.
I'm
so glad you're telling people. It's nice.
Thanks.
Also, saltpeter was totally used in meat production.
Was it really?
Like, meat curing. Yeah, I know what I'm talking about like 50% of the time, Josh.
I believe you. I know.
Yeah, it's used in like charcuterie boards and stuff. But yeah, ice cream has a really interesting history and I'm glad that Persians did most of it. Hey.
Rimona.
What's your dream?
Kimono means winter. What do you wear in winter? A robe. Kimono is Greek.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
What's your dream sundae, Josh? What's your favorite? Like, you gave me 5 flavors, which is way too much. Just tell me your dream sundae situation.
Wait, but I want to talk about my 5 top pints. Fine, I'll go dream sundae.
Okay, no, fine. You can tell me your 5 pints, and then I'm going to make my dream sundae.
All right, 5 pints. We got to talk about 1, vanilla plombier from Moloko. Moloko.
Josh, you're getting really insular. Nobody knows what the frick you're talking about.
I'm going to explain, Nicole. That's right. That's what we do. It's very good. Very cool. The world of ice cream is fascinating and beautiful. And we talk about USSR and food standards all the time. There is the top, Nicole. The USSR, they broke down ice cream into 3 different designations. There was low fat, medium fat, high fat. Plombier was the highest fat with egg yolks and heavy cream in it. And there's a company that is remaking. It's a dude from St. Petersburg who now lives in California. He gets all his dairy from Oregon. Probably the same cows as Tillamook uses, Nicole. And he's recreating Soviet standard plombier using egg yolks and cream. And that's really fantastic. 2, I'm going chocolate malted crunch from Thrifty. You got the malt in there. You got those little balls. You got all the flex. That's a good ice cream.
You know what's the best part
cream.
Of that ice cream?
Huh?
The best part of that ice cream is it had a little mascot. Do you ever remember? Like, it had like a little, like a, like
was it like a
little
a
guy with a sword.
Yeah, it was like
a
knight
with
a sword.
Yeah, a knight with like a sword.
Why?
Yeah. Okay, I don't know. Maybe he's the guardian of Thrifty's ice cream. If you like come at 10:31, they're like, no more ice cream.
Dude, maybe.
They have 3. Have like a cutoff point.
3, local ice cream purveyor, Bergamot Genmaicha. Shout out to Mercedes Saucedo at Casa Coco. She does incredible work. Very hyper-local. Also, the fanciest I will get, but you need 1 really fancy pint of ice cream, Nicole. 4, Jenny's. Love me some Jenny's.
Mm-hmm.
You get the peach buttermilk cobbler.
Mm-hmm.
Nice, a little bit of acid, a little bit of salt running through that.
Mm-hmm.
Good as hell. 5, my last one, McConnell's. McConnell's is the single best creamery, single best ice cream manufacturer. They were saved from bankruptcy several years ago. Santa Barbara native, used to get Snowy Bologna and go to the scoop shop originally to get their special flavors. Absolutely love McConnell's. Their sea salt cream and cookies is the best ice cream out there probably right now. Probably my most consistent pint. That's the one that I go back to the most. It's like cookies and cream, but they use chocolate chip cookies, but they blend it pretty well, and there's a lot of salt in the ice cream.
Ooh.
Those are the top 5 pints that I'm going.
Ooh, that sounds
God
good.
Dang.
Josh, I was going to ask you, what kind of ice cream did you have in your house growing up? Because I always had strawberry cheesecake in my house.
The thrifty one? The thrifty one?
It doesn't matter, any kind. Maybe it was Thrifty's, maybe it was, I don't know, Ben and Jerry's, maybe, who knows, it was some other random one. My house was fully stocked with strawberry cheesecake ice cream my whole life. What about you?
Do you still like it? Or did you like it back then?
It was Morris's favorite, and like, we would just have to have a bite every now and then. If my dad brought it out, he's like, Bia Baba, and he'd give me a spoon. But like, that wasn't my favorite ice cream. It was like cheesy.
Yeah.
Like jammy ice cream.
Yeah,
it wasn't
got that, like
my gig, but
it's got that fake strawberry goo.
But I respect it now.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but I respect it now. But back in the day, that was all we had in the house.
We only had 1 kind of ice cream too. And it was, I don't even know if it has a name. I'm sure it does. But they sell it in the 5-gallon plastic handled buckets.
Yeah.
And it is the lowest quality ice cream. We would get the Neapolitan because that way, Nicole, you save money. by only having to buy one thing ice cream and you get three flavors.
Yeah, but I'm not the biggest, I don't understand the point of Neapolitan ice cream. It just doesn't do it for me, you know? We've evolved as a society. We don't need to do chocolate vanilla strawberry anymore. We can put some fun flavors in there. We can put some pistachio. We can put some rum raisin. Like, I don't like, we should start a company where we get to make our own Neapolitans
Sharks.
For the people. Like, literally. Like, imagine, like, it's like, oh, the Neapolitan, like Neapolitan,
oh,
you know what I'm saying?
Oh.
Yeah, but it's like the new trio ice creams. And, like, we just do that.
Polyamorous ice cream.
It?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Thruples for days.
Okay.
So we went to, so the OG, the OG Neapolitan ice cream, right, is Spumoni. And you and I.
Oh, which?
Together. We went
Tell
to
Spumoni.
We went to what is it? L&B Spumoni Gardens.
Spumoni Gardens
in
yes.
New York, where they have the
in
big
Brooklyn.
Grandma. Yeah, in Brooklyn near Coney Island, we were there for the hot dog eating contest. We were both like sunburnt, dehydrated, and ate way too many clam strips and drank way too many beers, and we're all like full.
I was dead that day.
And I'm like, I will be damned if we leave New York without getting a pizza that's been on my bucket list for a while. And L&B Spumoni Gardens was there. And we stopped on the train on the way back, and we got just a giant brick of a pie that nobody wanted to eat. And I was there chowing down. And then everybody's like, we're so full. We're drinking like 90-degree red wine in the middle of the day, and we've been up from 6 a.m. And I was like, we got to get the Spumoni. It's called
Spumoni
Gardens. And then we got the Spumoni, which, like I said, OG Neapolitan ice cream. It's a pistachio, cherry, and chocolate, right?
Whatever it was, it wasn't very good. I'm sorry, New York.
God bless L&B Spumoni Gardens. I loved the pizza. The salad tastes like it was dressed with heavy cream.
Why was that salad so damn creamy?
I don't know.
It was
and
like
the Spumoni was not good.
Heavy cream salad. It was crazy.
I had a great meal.
Yeah, that Spumoni was gross.
And I loved it. But no, Spumoni, Neapolitan, I'm not the biggest fan. What would you combine, like your top three flavors in one? Because strawberry, vanilla, and chocolate, they don't go together. Like, you know, you would never want to
dip
in the same bite.
Yeah, they don't go together. They don't go together. I'd say we just do a salted series, okay?
Oh.
Hear me out. You made a really good salted cookies and cream milkshake, so let's do a salted Oreo.
Yo.
And then
salted
we do
Oreo.
And then we do salted Oreo, mm-hmm. And then we do some sort of nut. We just go crazy, and we do like an almond butter swirl, like a salted almond butter swirl.
Nicole's gyrating back and forth in her chair right now saying salted almond butter swirl.
It helps me think. And then the last one, Josh, take it away. Come on, I need something alcoholic.
What do we got?
Bourbon.
Oh my god. Ugh. Yeah, like a smoked bourbon. Use Warbringer bourbon.
Alderwood
smoked bourbon. Bro, a little bit of molasses, some blackstrap molasses in there.
Yeah, yeah,
oh.
Yeah. Ginger.
Oh,
got it.
Get the
Alderwood spice. Alderwood smoked bourbon ginger snap ice cream.
Wait, hold on. Can somebody write? Well, I'll listen to this podcast later, write that down, and then try and make that because that sounds so good. I have Alderwood smoked
like
salt
fun.
In my pantry because, of course, I do. Wait,
yeah,
speaking of which,
sure.
have you made any ice creams for pleasure or just for work? Because like you made
that
a lot
real
of
question.
Well, I mean, you've made a lot of ice cream at work because, like, we do that for a job. But, like, do you ever make it at home?
Never. Never.
No. I got into a really big ice cream
phase. Never in a million years make my own ice cream when the store is just 5 blocks that way.
It's fun.
No, I mean, no, it's not fun for me. But I will frick around and make a sorbet every once in a while.
Yeah.
But that's not real.
You're talking about, like, a blender sorbet, like a food processor sorbet?
Yeah, but like that's not real. But when it comes to ice cream making, it's just such an art form. And I really respect people that can make a delicious ice cream. I just don't want to bring that energy into my house.
You act like
I'm not here to be
like
a pro.
It's a witchcraft.
No, it is in a way.
It's
incredible.
It
making creme en glaze is a beautiful, you know, feeling of and you know, it's just hard. I don't want to temp things in my house.
Nobody's making you. I'm just curious.
I know. I'm just saying, like, I'm not here for that kind of life. I'm going to go to the corner store and get me a cone, and I'm just going to live my life. I'm not going to bring the energy of an ice cream maker in my house. No.
But
no
there's aren't there, like, flavors that you want to exist that don't exist? And you're like, I Nicole Hendizadeh Enayity IV, can make this myself because I'm a powerful woman.
Yeah, I mean, what I do is I talk about it on the podcast that I have with you, and then it never happens. Never happens. But it's nice to know that these ideas exist and they're in my mind. And I'm sure that there's some incredible ice cream maker that has done something similar, if not better than my idea. And they have an R&D team that tests and tests and tests it and does it better than I ever could. I'm gonna make what? Like an ice cream on my kitchen table? What the frick? I don't have time
for
that.
Dude, the ice cream maker's annoying too. Like, you're trying to watch a movie and you're just like, for like 4 hours. And then you're like, oh, turns out you can't just substitute buttermilk for milk in an ice cream base, because then your buttermilk Thai basil ice cream turns out like crap, Nicole. And that happened to me.
Yeah. And have you ever, like, seen those, like, ice cream makers that are, like, handheld where you, like, roll a ball? Oh, yeah, go frick yourself.
Dude, those are so annoying.
I hate that stuff. Those are so stupid. I mean, leave it to the professionals.
I will say there's one ice cream flavor that I made that was maybe better than any store-bought ice cream I've had. And I didn't write What's anything that? Down because I kind of believe in the ephemera of food and I think it's fun. I did a sweet corn, like, fresh corn ice cream where I basically made a corn broth by, like, blending the corn, simmering it, reducing, getting the starch out, straining it, all that. And then I added malt powder and salt to it. And then I did a smoked salt caramel ribbon in the fresh corn malted ice cream. And to me, that was what dreams are made of. That's why I want to chase this. I think if you were to say Mythical, the offices burn down and they collect the insurance money and decide not to revive anything, you know, inshallah, it doesn't happen. But what would your, like, one food thing that you'd actually sell be if you were to go that route? You're like, what's the food that you make better than anyone that you could sell to the public?
Customized charcuterie boards.
Yeah?
Yeah. I would just make beautiful curated meats, cheeses, crackers, and maybe a few flowers on there.
Like Harry and David's? Do you know what I'm talking about? They do, like, the gift.
Who are you calling Harry?
They give you the, certainly not me. I've tried to grow out my mustache today and you can't even see it. They do, like, the beautiful gift baskets. You would do that, but for, like, cured meats and, like edible arrangements for the new generation.
Yeah, that's what I would do. So it would require, again, no real cooking. And I would just curate things, because what am I if not a curator, you know? If I had to cook something, it probably would be cookies.
Yeah.
Or cakes.
Ice cream, baby.
Well, I already knew that about you. You just talked about corn ice cream for 3 minutes.
All right, Nicole, I'm sold on your charcuterie idea. But tell the people, this is proof of concept. If you were to make me a charcuterie board, what's going to be on it? How's it going to look? Who's it going to impress? Sell
I'm
me.
I'm going to make you salami. Okay, I'm going to make you salami ice cream. And I'm going to put scoops of salami ice cream, and then I'm going to make a mustard, and then I'm going to make a sweet mustard to put over it, and then I'm just going to give you a crap ton of carb-free crackers. And then you could just have a party.
A bunch of those, like, almond Parmesan crackers that you can buy at the Bed Bath & Beyond.
Yeah, 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 yeah. The little Parmesan crisps. Yeah, yeah, because we don't do carbs, honey.
I just ate a bunch of ice cream slathered in mustard.
Yeah, I think that's what I would do for you. I think I'd make it like a fun little ice cream sausage party, because that's what you deserve.
I do love a sausage party. All right, so let's vanilla best ice cream, right? Like, it's almost incontrovertible.
Yeah.
The people even say that. Democratically, vanilla is the best ice cream, and I would implore people to go out there and explore more vanillas. Think more deeply about the flavor that's in your mouth. None of us discussed plain chocolate ice cream. You don't mess with chocolate ice cream?
If I'm, like, with my niece and nephew, I might have a spoonful of chocolate ice cream. But no, I don't search for it. I'm not a Rocky Road girl. I do like chocolate frozen yogurt, though.
Oh, really? What, ew?
I love chocolate frozen yogurt. It's delicious.
That's the opposite of the time to get chocolate.
It's a little... No, it's not. It's, like, a little tangy. And, like, it's a little sour. And it works really well with the chocolate.
Ew.
You those don't
are
think
not
so?
No, those are the opposite of adjectives I want in chocolate specifically. It's like chocolate
but
is the opposite
so good
of tangy.
With froyo.
I mix Nicole.
Chocolate is not the opposite of tangy. Have you ever had dark chocolate before?
Yeah, I don't think there should be acid. I think acid would be like a negative byproduct.
Chocolate is acid. No,
I know,
no,
but I'm saying
dark
so is coffee, but
naturally
acidic. I'm saying, but so is coffee, but like acidic coffee is not something people seek out. You know? You know what I mean?
Why are we having this fight now?
Why did this? I didn't think I was going to drop a bombshell by asking you about chocolate ice cream. Now you're talking about chocolate froyo. There's not even a real chocolate in there, you know? And like half the time you go to Yogurtland, you pull the freaking lever and like it's just a melted thing of goop just goes. and spray farts into your cup. And you're like, oh,
okay,
I have to
so
pay
you
for
know,
this now?
So you know how that your first girlfriend ever worked at Cold Stone? My best friend Debbie worked at a frozen yogurt place
Which
called
one?
Toppings. Oh, okay. Toppings. And we used to just go, and I'd be like, hey, Debbie. And she would just look at me like, what are you doing here? I'd be like, give me some samples. And I would
like
the chocolate froyo. The chocolate froyo was really good there. I don't know. It was like a little tang. Oh, I also like chocolate from Pinkberry, too.
Ew. I hate the chocolate from Pinkberry.
Are
no,
you crack?
It's Greek. It's Greek yogurt. It's not good.
That's
Greek
delicious.
I mix so much chocolate protein powder with so much Greek yogurt, and I hate it. I hate it. I choke it down because I have to, and it's there. So no, I don't want
to. It doesn't need to be chocolate protein powder. You could get vanilla protein powder
I'm
and
saying,
stop
it's that,
being
it's
a
like,
B-word.
It's like an austerity thing. It's like you don't want that. It's
what
not there.
The
give me the luxurious.
Is austerity?
Give me the luxurious, Maggie. The bitter, the beautiful, the harmonious, the creamy, the earthen chocolate. I don't know what
daddy What does
chocolate?
Austerity mean? What does
austerity
mean?
Austerity measure is like when you're poor and can't afford the good stuff, you know, you're dialing back, so you got to get the cheap, crappy froyo instead of the ice cream. And I love froyo, but time and place. Get like a honeydew froyo from because I made you when I hurt my back.
Ew!
When I hurt my back, I made you take me to Yogurtland, so it felt better. And I got
honeydew froyo.
Honeydew
froyo. Josh, that
that's
tastes
the
like
go.
Fart.
You put the mochi
that
in
tastes
it.
Tastes like fart.
I like the fart. I like farts.
It's Sophia Franklin, and if you don't already know, listen up. My mini-series is live now, each and every Monday, and the only person missing is you. We're dating, we're dumping, we're learning, and we're tapping into all the feels that originally brought us together. Listen and follow Sophia with an F on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Nicole, we've heard it. You and I have to say. Now it's time to find out what other wacky ideas are rattling out there in the Twitterverse. It's time for a segment we call Opinions Are Like...
Opinions Are Like Casseroles.
You know, sometimes you let the talent around you shine. You know, like, I'll sing backup vocals. Nicole's main, you know, she's the star, and I can accept that. You know, she's got the range. Frankly, she's got the range. Some say
I'm
she doesn't
so
have the range.
Glad you
she has
noticed
the range.
That. Who said that? Who says I don't have the range? I'll fight them right now. Oh, special announcement.
I was waiting.
We've got ourselves a podcast voicemail.
Yeah. We want to stop hearing our own voices. We want to start hearing your voices for a change. So if you got a question, concern, nice compliment to puff up our egos, if you leave a voicemail, preferably less than a minute, because if it's over a minute, we just get bored. We have so much ADHD in this podcast room. We'll play it on the show and talk about it and whatnot. So yeah, call the number.
Yeah. So if you want to leave us a voicemail, call us at 833-DOGPOD. Pod one. That's 833-DOGPOD1.
When you write it out, it looks like dog poo one. And I was like, no way. There was nobody else that had
no.
dog poo one. We got
dog
do- it's dog pod one.
One.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes.
Before we get into opinions like casseroles, are there any ice creams that we left out that people are gonna be mad about? Are the Italians gonna be like, oh, but gelato?
I love gelato more than ice cream.
Really? There's that
yeah,
spot
and
in the,
I love
spot in the mall. Westfield Central yeah. City, the mall that you and I are always at the same time. There's that gelato spot. That's the only chocolate that I like.
No. We're never there at the same time. Or we are there at the same time, but you never wait for me to come meet up with you. You always leave.
No, I'm there to check the long sleeve shirts at Zara. I'm there to get Brazilian barbecue and a cup of gelato, and then I leave.
I just want to hang out with you for 5 minutes outside of work, and you never wait for me.
Never! All right, first up, we got at Nutrilove. Mixing applesauce with Kraft mac and cheese is the best. Yeah, I don't, I've never tried. They also, okay, dipping a grilled cheese into applesauce. I can see that. A mild cheese and apples, a combination that some people like. I find it vaguely disgusting. I don't love fondue very much, and dipping the fruit into the melted cheese, that's not really my game. There's something about the fat in the fruit that I don't love. But applesauce is, here's an opinion. It's like an unseasoned ketchup. It's like a sweet unseasoned ketchup.
Sure.
But what would happen if you just mixed?
Let me tell you what this person is saying. They're saying to dip a Kraft grilled cheese mac and cheese into applesauce, which I don't dig. But I would be down to do it with like a brie, with like maybe a little prosciutto. You know what I mean? I think I could get down with that.
Hold up. I realized on Julie and I's second date, I had a very fancy version of what they're talking about that I kind of didn't love. Birdie G's restaurant in Los Angeles, very fancy. They do a lot of sort of Ashkenazi Jewish food. Jules and I both grew up on Ashkenazi Jewish food. Kugel is a dish that I grew up eating. It was a fat, dense brick of egg noodles with like eggs, milk, cinnamon, and raisins in it.
And so then weird. You ate it.
This dude makes like a fancy kugel, but it's with cavatappi noodles and it has like acorn squash or something and sage. But then he puts like a spiced apple thing in the middle. And it's like a good dish, but it, you know, it just doesn't.
No thanks.
Yeah, you know, it's fine. It's almost not really kugel at that, but his play on choroset. Now that's good. Ooh, girl, give me some choroset.
My mom makes good choroset. We call it, what do we call it? Haled in Farsi.
Haled?
Really good. Yeah. It's better than Ashkenazi.
Ooh, them fighting words.
Okay, next food opinion. Rachel Tater Tot says, a bowl of honey bunches of oats with oat milk is technically confit.
Okay. Let's break it down. Let's
false.
The technique of confiting is, I think they're talking about duck confit, which is probably the most popular
correct
form of confit, whereby you cook a duck, mostly hindquarters, in its own fat very, very slowly. But I believe confit is technically just a term for slow fat cooking in anything, right? Confit garlic, confit tomato.
You can confit anything with fat, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just a method of preservation. But they're talking about if you take honey bunches of oats, primarily oat-based, and then you're submerging that into oat milk, that is a confit of sorts.
No, making oatmeal with oat milk is confiting it.
Correct. Yeah, because if there's no heat. There's
you're
no
not
heat.
Cooking it.
No, heat is endemic. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they were close.
So this
they were
is
close.
Incorrect.
Also,
close,
honey bunch,
but still incorrect.
Honey bunches of oats, mostly corn. What people don't know, honey bunches of oats. We talked about this a while ago, talking about cereal. But honey bunches of oats was four different post cereals, individual cereals that they just combined. So it's like the it's like a trail mix of cereals. It's just a combination of four cereals. Most of it's corn.
So. I do love that cereal so much. I would be the nut clusters in a honey bunches of oats. I like the ones with almonds in it.
Yeah, same. Oh, God, I want some Honey Bunches of Oats.
What would you be?
Which Honey Bunches of Oat piece would I be?
Yeah.
The glazed flake of corn. Because they have normal flake of corn.
That's right.
And then glazed
right.
flake of corn. Can't call it corn
That's
flakes.
Right. You sure are a glazed corn.
At Kobe Turner 54, the only way to make mashed potatoes with a big spoonful of mayo. Bam, bam, bam. Let's go. I love mayo potatoes. Absolutely rule. You can't add it in when the potatoes are too hot because the eggs are going to scramble and the mayo is going to separate.
You're
I
sick.
Love it. This is where I want a little bit of tang, a little bit of tang with potatoes, Nicole, a little bit of acid in your potatoes.
So it's weird whenever I want a little bit of tang in my chocolate froyo, but whenever you want it in your mayonnaise taters, it's fine. Get out of here, Josh.
What I do with my mayonnaise taters is between me and God.
All right, next up on our controversial food opinions sheet, Cheers for Fears. Hoisin sauce is pretty legitimate dipping sauce. Yeah.
Yep.
I love hoisin sauce. I have a bottle of hoisin sauce in my fridge right now.
Always keep it on. I always keep oyster sauce on hand. Always keep hoisin on hand. Love it. The combination, this is a very Southern California Vietnamese food thing. Well, probably all of California Vietnamese food thing. When you get pho, you get the hoisin and sriracha, and you like kind of put them in the same bowl. And so for me, that combination of hoisin and sriracha is like such a beautiful nostalgic thing for a lot of the restaurants I went to growing up. Yeah, hoisin's great. It's made from plums.
I don't know what it's made from, but it's so sugary and deep.
Sugary,
it's
deep,
delicious.
Dark. Has the consistency of ketchup, but like a much like deeper, more tart, caramelized flavor.
Very good. Very good.
Yeah, is there no plum in hoisin? Why did I think hoisin was made with plum? Can you search hoisin plum?
Plum sauce.
Plum sauce, yeah. Oh, no, there is no plum in hoisin. Oh, I'm just dumb. And I learned something new today. It's fun.
You know what it is? The container is normally purple. So maybe you had some sort of like association with like plums and purple.
That makes sense. I generally get Lee Kum Kee. That's a brand that I enjoy. Lee Kum Kee.
I believe mine is Lee Kum Kee as well.
Yeah. Good stuff. All right. At ZestVK, after eating Chef Boyardee for the first time in years, I never realized how effing sweet it is. What do they sprinkle sugar on? It's like a tomato smoothie with pasta. It really is, dude. It is.
I've never had it.
Same with Cam. You've never had Chef Boyardee?
No.
Like ravioli?
Why would I?
I don't know, dude. We were around it at work all the time. It is. It's very corn syrupy. It's almost like Campbell's tomato soup, like much more than like a pasta sauce. And it is just, it's sugary. It is acidic. It is unreal. Mm. It's one of those things that when I ate it as a kid, I loved it because kids have massive sweet tooths, right? And then as you get older, your palate develops, bitter things start to round out. You don't taste things as intensely. And so sweet things don't agree with you as much. Yeah, I can't do Chef Boyardee. And the canned pasta, it's so soft. Like, there's a lot of nostalgic foods that I absolutely love, man. I'll slam bagel bites and ranch all day. Kraft mac and cheese, delight. Like, Chef Boyardee is one of those things that I cannot do as an adult.
It's oddly orange, isn't it?
It's, yeah, it doesn't look like tomato sauce. It's
yeah,
creamy. I think there's probably fat emulsified into it. Yeah, it's a bizarre experience eating it as an adult if you haven't had it in a long time.
I can't do it. All right. Real Phil Games says, slap Big Mac sauce on any sandwich from the Golden Arches and it'll make it better. All right. Let's think about sandwiches you can get from the Golden Arches. A McChicken with burger sauce.
Better.
Sounds good. Filet-O-Fish.
Better. I mean, it's just special sauce. I mean, it's there's no ketchup in it at McDonald's. It's mustard, mayonnaise, spices, pickles, and then some other stuff.
I think the paprika extract.
Yeah. You're right. And so that's just a better tartar sauce, in my opinion. So that's better on the Filet-O-Fish. Even breakfast sandwiches. I love a good spiced mayonnaise on my breakfast sandwiches. I feel like it'd be dank on a freaking sausage McMuffin with egg. Dude.
Maybe. I'm not a big fan of mayonnaise on my breakfast sandwiches, but I'd be willing to try it. Why not?
That's the sentiment. I can't get enough of it. I think this is a great opinion that I've weirdly never thought about, and I'd be one of the few people in the world who would think about these things, and I haven't. And so that's fun. Heck yeah, dude. Yeah, shout out Real Phil Games. You rule.
Yeah.
All right, last one. One more. All right, let's do it. At Hannah Schobert, can't believe y'all are sleeping on Taco Bell nachos. Nachos Bel Grande sub beef for black beans plus chipotle sauce plus pickled jalapenos. One-way ticket to Flavor Town. This, you know how I know this is a good order from Taco Bell?
How?
Because they got three additions and or substitutions in there, meaning they have curated this to their own palate in a way that I really love. When did we sleep on nachos? Must have been during the What Does Your Taco Bell Order Say About You?
I don't know, but there's something about getting nachos from Taco Bell. It's just so messy, you know? Like, I want to eat it at a restaurant.
Yeah.
I like the way it looks at restaurants. It's like a mountain. It's like a big volcano that I can climb. But Taco Bell's just like a dune. It's like a plateau that I just kind of like walk over, you know? I like my nachos to be a conquest, and I don't feel that way when I'm at Taco Bell. And I'm sure they're delicious. I'm sure they're yummy. I just don't want to do it in my car at like 3 in the morning. I don't want to do that.
Okay, so when I go to Taco Bell, I always eat inside the restaurant. I love it. I love eating inside an air-conditioned Taco Bell, getting a refill on my Diet Baja Blast, as many fire sauce packs as I want. I don't know why I never order nachos. I've eaten plenty of nachos from Taco Bell, but it's not like in my regular order. And I don't know why, because they are great. It's all of the flavors that you want just on crispy chips. You know
a
what I mean?
Crunchier, yeah.
I think Hannah Schobert, I think you're correct. I need to start adding all of these now, because I probably haven't ordered nachos there since they came out with the infinitely customizable app menu. And now I need to. I can take my destiny into my own hands. In one chip at a time.
You are the master of your own destiny, Josh. You go get those Taco Bell's McGrande. Is that what they're called?
Like James Joyce's Ulysses. I mean, truly. Nachos Bel Grande.
You are Ulysses.
Thank you. Well, are we done? Do we do it? Do we do a podcast? I forgot what a normal podcast is like when I'm not sweating from talking about the ontological implications of a hot dog hood. And on that note, thank you for listening to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich. If you want to hear more from us here in the Mythical Kitchen, we got new episodes for you every Wednesday.
If you want to be featured on Opinions Are Like Casseroles, you can hit us up on Twitter at @MythicalChef or @Handyzada with the hashtag #OpinionCasserole. Or if you want to leave us a voicemail, give us a ring and leave a quick message at 833-DOG-POD-1.
That's 833-DOG-POD-1. Pod one, not dog poo one, but really use the voicemail thing because we really want to hear your voice, and that's the thing that podcasts that I like do. It's like we should start doing it. We have original ideas. We have original ideas too, but that's cool. That's the fun thing. Listener, you know, submissions via voicemail. We can yell at them. You're like, you did this. I said that. You know what I mean? It's a fun time. And for more Mythical Kitchen, check us out on YouTube where we launch new videos every week.
We'll see you next time.